Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As you probably know full well, when two or more people get together, there's always going to be disagreements. And sometimes it's just friendly disagreements or friendly arguments, and sometimes they get kind of heated. One of the things that people do when they seem to be losing their argument is go into stall tactics. And one of the stall tactics is to ask to cite the authority of the opinion of someone else. In an academic setting, it may be something like this. Professor, can you cite references for the opinion you have just stated? On the playground, it may appear something more like this. Oh yeah? Who says? In our gospel lesson, I think that's what the elders and the chief priests are doing with Jesus. Once again, they're trying to discredit him. As our gospel lesson takes place, it's in that time period as we know of as Holy Week. Jesus has already marched triumphantly into Jerusalem. The people were waving palm branches and spreading their cloaks before him and shouting, Hosanna, the King has come. And showing his authority, bringing out the authority of Jesus. And also, Jesus has cleaned out the temple, chasing out the money changers already at this point. He's also shown his authority in withering the fig tree. But Jesus doesn't have any credentials. And so the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests, the elders, they all know this because they're the ones who actually give out the credentials. In order to have the credentials, you need to study under one of the more famous rabbis. And Jesus didn't do that. And so they think that they've got him this time. They're trying to discredit him. They're trying to discredit him in front of the people so that people won't follow him anymore. And so that they won't have to go to more drastic measures, which they are already planning. And so they ask him, by whose authority are you doing this? They know that he doesn't have the human credentials. And if he says that he has the authority straight from God, then they could get him for blasphemy. They could arrest him, throw him into prison, or actually the prescribed punishment is actually death for blasphemy. And so they had him. But Jesus turns the question around on them as he does so many times. He says, okay, I'll answer your question if you'll answer one for me. And so he asked them a question about John the Baptist. Whose authority did John the Baptist have? How did he have the authority? And that stumped the scribes, or the chief priests and the elders. Because if they answered one way, if they answered that the authority comes from God, then Jesus would have simply said, well, why didn't you believe him? And if they answer that he doesn't have authority, then all the people would be angry at the chief priest and the elders. And so they just simply answer, we don't know. We don't know. Jesus had them. But Jesus continues on. He continues on then with that parable that he teaches. And he gets them involved. He says, what do you think? And he tells the parable then of the two sons. The father says to one, go out and work. And that first son says, no, I'm not going to go out and work today. But he changes his mind and he goes out and works. The father tells the second son, go out and work today. The second son says, yes, father, I'll go out and work for you today. But then he never goes out. And so he asked the elders and the chief priests then, so who did the will of the father? And they answer, the first son. And they get it right because the first son was actually the one who went out and did the work. But then Jesus drives that nail in their coffin. Or he makes them so angry, he ticks them off so much at this point. Again, they're trying to discredit him. They're trying to do away with him. They don't like Jesus because of his popularity and of what he's teaching. He's making them look like fools. And here, at the end of this parable, he says that the prostitutes and the tax collectors are going to enter into heaven before the house of Israel. Now they have to understand this, or you have to understand this as well then too, that Israel was the chosen nation. That was God's chosen people. They were the holy ones. But yet the sinners are going to go before the house of Israel? And if they are the leaders, if these elders and chief priests are the leaders of the house of Israel, does that mean that they are at the very bottom of the list? It ticks them off royally. And as you know, at the end of this Holy Week then, they finally do arrest Jesus. They torture him, they put him on the cross, he dies, and then on Easter morning, Jesus rises to new life. They wonder, how could it get this far? How could this happen? That here they are, the most learned people around. They are in the prestigious town of Jerusalem, the heart and center of religion. They have a pulse on the city. They know what's going on. And here this country bumpkin from some nowhere place called Nazareth comes down and gets the best of them. They still don't want to believe. Where does his authority come from? They wouldn't listen to John the Baptist. They wouldn't change like the sinners changed. The sinners changed and they began to do the work of God. But yet they wouldn't listen to Jesus. They wouldn't change their minds. As we look at these sons in the parable, I think it plays on our minds as well then too. For the scribes and the Pharisees, as they look at that first son, the son that says, no, I'm not going to work, he changes his mind. The scribes and the Pharisees never do change their minds, or the elders and the chief priests never change their minds. And they never go out and work. But the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the other sinners did. And that's where the grace from God comes in as well then too. We say no a lot of times to God. We rebel against God. We say, God, I can't do that. I don't know how. I'm too old. I'm too young. I can't do it. But then as we pray about it, as we listen to that Holy Spirit, God works on us, and we realize, yes, I can give it a try. And as we give it a try, we learn, we can do, that God is present and here with us, and is able, and we are able to do what God calls us to do. Or as we look at that second son that says, yes, Father, I'll go. He knows the right words, but he doesn't do the right things. And I think that's where Jesus nails the elders and the chief priest here, is that they know the right words. They know scriptures, frontwards and backwards. They know the laws, and they do them. But what they've forgotten is the intention of the laws. They've forgotten the intention of the scripture. They have forgotten who God is and are not willing to work for God. Rather, they are working for themselves and for their own glory. For us too, a lot of times we get caught in this trap. We know the right words. We come to worship. We mumble through the liturgy. We know by rote maybe the creed, the Lord's Prayer, and we say those things along too. We might sing the hymns. We pray the prayers. But it doesn't sink in. It doesn't catch. We're not paying attention to what's going on. We don't concentrate on our worship a lot of times. And as a result, then a lot of times when we do leave, we've forgotten who we are and what we are about. We have forgotten God, and we've forgotten those intentions. And we have no intentions of going out and working in the vineyard for the Lord. We get caught in those ruts a lot of times, but yet there is still forgiveness. There is still that grace of God. There is always that chance that we can repent, that we can change our minds, and that we can heed the call of God and listen to God and do what God calls us to do. There's a couple of other answers here that the sons could have given their father. One of those other answers was, no, I will not go work in the vineyard. And then he doesn't go work in the vineyard. And unfortunately, there's plenty of people like that here in this world then too, that hear the call of God, they refuse the call of God, and they continue to refuse that call of God. And that's where we come in a lot of times, is that we are here to help those people that say no, to change their minds and listen to the Word of God. To be able to understand God, maybe in a different way, maybe in a different way of understanding are coming to grips with who God truly is, of Jesus Christ as being Lord and Savior. Maybe they haven't heard it in such a way that they can understand. Maybe we speak the right language, either through words or by what we do, but through our actions, through our compassion, through our help, through our service. Maybe people will understand. Those who say no and refuse, at least we know where they stand. Or the sons could have answered, "Yes, Father, I'll go to the vineyard and work for you today," and actually go out and do what God calls us to do. We are put in that position. God has called us to go out and work in His vineyard, to call those who say no to God, to call those who have not heard, to call those who do not wish to listen, to continue to serve and call God. When God calls us, how do we answer? Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.